Our message this morning is found in Mark chapter 4, starting in that 14th verse through the 23rd verse. Mark 7, 14 through 21. Let's pray. God, we just thank you. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you for your everlasting love, God. God, even though, God, we wrestle with sin, God, we wrestle with the things of this world, God. God, it is your heart to call us to love you, to worship you, and to be a temple that you dwell within, God. So, God, I pray that we hear your word. God, that not only do we hear your word, God, that we understand and apply your word, God. Speak to us now, God. Help me to communicate clearly. For those who are here, God, help them to hear your word, to understand it, God. God, any distraction, anything that would pull their heart away, God. Their mind, their thoughts, God. God, help them to focus in on you and your word. And we just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 4, or chapter 7, sorry, starting in that 14th verse. After he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him, but all the things which proceed out of the man are what defile him. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but it goes into his stomach and is eliminated? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he was saying that which proceeds out of the man, that which is what defiles the man. From within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. I've entitled our message this morning, "The Source of Our Sin." The Bible's teaching of sin begins in the garden, where Adam violates God's prohibition against eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From there, sin affects every person, each and every one of us here today. But our personal sin begins much closer to home. We can't blame Adam for our own sins. We must look inside of ourselves. That's where sin begins. It begins in our hearts. But yet, the inner workings of our hearts are oblique. They're complicated and they're less accessible. We wrestle with it. We wonder, why do I do this? Why do I keep doing the thing that I don't want to do? We wonder, why are we so easily angered? What deep beliefs lodge in our hearts about ourselves, life, and God, that feed our compulsion to be anxious, depressed, to lie, to gossip, or feel pulled by sexual desires, or any other sins that we wrestle with. But we wrestle with sin, and it is a battle. Sometimes we lose. Other times we are victorious. There's times that we feel stuck. So as we discuss the source of our sin, let us consider how to achieve victory. At every point in our fight against sin, we must focus on Christ, loving him, learning from him, and hoping in him. We do not make progress against sin by simply focusing on the sin. We make progress by focusing on Jesus. Let me say that again. A lot of us, we try to fix our sin by focusing in on the sin. But the solution to it is by focusing in on Jesus. and loving Jesus and hearing Jesus and letting his word transform us and the Holy Spirit change us. So our first point this morning is make sure to listen and understand Jesus. So last week we talked about following tradition. And really this section it's building upon what came before, is that Jesus has just finished having this discussion with the Pharisees about the traditions of men, where they're more concerned about the washing of hands, the external things, the eating of foods. And yes, I know in the Old Testament, you have this Old Testament law, and it tells you that you're not to eat certain foods. And in that day, and in that time, and in that understanding of how to have a relationship with God, he set a pattern. He set a standard of things to be in right relationship with him, that his presence may be among his people. But here, now he sent his son Jesus. And what he's showing is that the law, while good, while holy, while right, what the law did is it showed you how sinful you are. That's what Roman tells us, that the law shows us how sinful we are. But what the law doesn't actually do is the law doesn't change us. And we know this, okay? We know this to be true, okay? There's laws against selling drugs. There's laws against breaking into homes. There's laws against all of these things that doesn't stop people from doing them. It's only when something inside of us says that we shouldn't do that we value the possessions of other people, we don't want to hurt other people, that we begin to say, you know what, we're going to obey these laws. And so this is where Jesus, he's combating this tradition. And now he's telling his disciples, make sure that you listen and understand me. A lot of people will listen to Jesus. A lot of people might even understand what he's saying. But Jesus is going, when he says, understand me, he's saying, obey me. Hear my word, understand my word, then put it into practice in everyday life. Now, Mark does one of these things. Is that the disciples are slow to understand Jesus, who he is, and the implications of his teaching. Okay? But what Mark is doing, he's calling us as his readers, as disciples. He's saying, don't be like us. Don't be like the disciples. Okay? Mark, he's not actually one of the disciples that follow Jesus. Mark is a disciple of a disciple. Okay? But he's telling them, don't make the same mistake. Don't be dull. Don't be like them. When you hear Jesus' word, apply it, live it out. Mark tells us, hear, understand, and apply the message of Jesus to life. Okay, one of the things that the Pharisees, and I always talk about this, one of the things the Pharisees did is the Pharisees, their goal was to take the law. And they were to look at life through the prism of the law. And they said, we want to understand every minute aspect, every situation in life. We want to filter it through the understanding of the law. Now, that's actually a good thing, okay? Because as a Christian, we should do the same thing, that we take every aspect of life and everything that we do, and we should try to filter it through the lens of Holy Scripture to say, how do I behave in this situation? How do I live this out? What the Pharisees did is they took the law and they added on their human traditions, and they made the law, okay? It became just about obeying the law, obeying tradition. It didn't become about transforming human beings and having a relationship with God. So he's telling them, he begins to tell them, he says, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of a man which can defile him, which goes into him. Okay. Now, what he's not saying is, hey, if you don't eat healthy, okay, Okay, he's not saying, he's not ignoring health, that if you don't eat unhealthy things that you'll be unhealthy. Jesus isn't even referencing that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about human tradition. And what the Pharisees are saying, you eat something or you do something, this is going to defile you. This is going to make that, it's basically going to put a wedge between you and God. You won't be in right relationship with him. And Jesus is saying, no. Food can't stop you from having a relationship with God. It can't keep you from being in right standing with God. Not washing your hands is not going to, before you eat, is not going to stop you having a relationship with God. Not showing up into church with a suit and a tie on is not going to prohibit you from having a relationship with God. That you didn't wear a dress that went down to your ankles and looked like, you lived in Victorian England, that's not going to stop you from having a relationship with God. Now, there are times that our dress does not reflect a godly attitude, but these things are not going to keep us from having a relationship with God. Because what happens is, as the Spirit dwells in us and begins to change us, we'll begin to change our actions. We'll begin to change how we see things, not out of human tradition, but out of just the Spirit of God moving within us and changing us. Sometimes the church, they're trying to scale the fish and fillet the fish before they've even caught it. They're trying to make people behave like church people who aren't even Christian. Well, you can't make someone who's not Christian, who's not filled with the Spirit of God, live like a Christian. You got to be Christian first. And it's a process, it takes time. He goes on, but the things which proceed out of the man are which defile him. He says, if anyone hears, let him hear. When they had left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples questioned him about the parable. Now remember on Mark, Mark's very concerned about the crowds. And the crowds are noisy. The crowds, they bring in a lot of confusion about what's going on. And oftentimes when a crowd's around, the disciples are dense. They don't get it. Jesus has to take them away from the crowds, away from the confusion, away from the noise, that they can hear his voice and understand them. Verse 18, he says, and he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Okay, he said as much. He says, hey, anything that comes into you is not going to make you unclean spiritually. Okay, foods, your health is a whole nother thing. Okay. Now, there's things that we do that we know we shouldn't be doing that are going to cause a problem, okay? There's certain behaviors that are going to hinder us from in our relationship with God. There's certain behaviors that if we start bringing certain things in our body, they are unhealthy for us, okay? And if they're unhealthy for us, we shouldn't do it. But he's talking about spiritual things, things that are going to cause a relationship with God not to go well. But then he says, verse 19, because it does not go into his heart, but it goes into his stomach and is eliminated. Now he's just being practical here. Hey, food goes in and it goes out, okay? Let's be honest here. Now, okay, I know someone's thinking, well, this means I can drink, or I can smoke, or I can do this, or I can do drugs. Those are altering your mind. Those are altering things. They're changing your behavior. What's going on? Jesus is just specifically talking about food here, okay? But the principle is that it's not affecting your heart. It's not affecting your relationship with God. It goes out of it. Look in here. You probably see in parentheses, or there's a footnote at the end of this thing. It says, because it does not go into his heart, but it goes into his stomach and is eliminated. Thus, he declared all foods clean. You might see in parentheses or footnote, it'll say these are not in the earliest text, but it's actually over in Luke's gospel where it actually says the same exact thing. So you meet people and they're like, oh well, you're not supposed to eat pork, or you're not supposed to eat shellfish, you're not supposed to this. Right here he says that all foods are clean. You want to eat some shrimp, you want to eat some crab, you want to go barbecue some ribs, God bless you, okay? Because they're not going to make you unclean in God's sight. They're not going to defile you. They're not sin to you. Why? Jesus is telling his disciples he has to remove them from the crowd. It's too much noise. It's too much distraction. Make sure you're finding quiet time with Jesus. Make sure you're getting away from the noise of the crowds, that confusion, that chaos. There's times when chaos comes, and I'll tell you when it comes. Oftentimes we're praying, we're struggling with something, and all of a sudden this chaos, this noise comes into our life, and now we're struggling. What should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? When you're in that place, you need to step, you need to get away from the crowds, you need to get away from the noise. Go spend some time with Jesus and make sure that you listen and understand him. Our second point this morning is beware of human tradition, okay? And we've been talking about that. Here is beware of human tradition. Okay. Human tradition defiles us before God. Okay. Now I'm not just talking about just, we have traditions, we have cultural traditions, and in certain cultural traditions we do this or we do that. That's not the kind of traditions I'm talking about. I'm talking about human traditions where we begin to add things on to the Bible. We begin to add things on to Christianity. We begin to tell people to do things that are required of God that are actually in Scripture. Okay. They used to tell you, if you didn't wear a suit, you couldn't come to church, and they would look down on you, okay? You should see how they dressed in the first century, okay? They didn't wear suits. They surely didn't wear ties. Some of them probably came to church after a long day's work because they met daily. They would meet together in Bible study in the evening. Some of them probably showed up sweaty. They showed up in their work clothes. So don't let human tradition get in the way, okay? Human tradition is not going to defile us before God. Now, human tradition is not a good thing, okay? But it's not going to defile us before God, okay? The Pharisees, they're concerned about the washing of the hands. They're concerned about food laws. These aren't the things that God is concerned. Now we know washing hands is a good thing, right? If you're cooking food, hey, you don't want someone digging in their backside, digging in their nose, their hands are all dirty. You want them to wash their hands. You want them to wear gloves. You want them to do things, but that's not what this is talking about. They're saying, oh, you didn't wash your hands before you ate. You are sinning with God. You are not in a right relationship with God. They're concerned about food laws. And the Pharisees got so crazy that they would, they start creating these laws and these rules that, hey, they had rules around divorce, okay? And depending on which branch of the Pharisees or Jewish sect you were part of would depend, some would say if your wife burnt your soup, you could divorce her. Like, so what if you have a wife who's not a very good cook? I mean, I don't know how you burn a soup, but I mean, you're probably not paying attention and the bottom burns or something, right? But you know what? You know what? Hey, you burnt my sweet potatoes, sweetheart. I'm gonna, you know what? We're gonna get a divorce. And so we do these things, we create these traditions, all right? Our traditions can cause us to focus on the wrong things. Someone shows up in our church, okay? Now let me say, you've seen women show up in churches, and we may have a young lady, maybe she wore the dress that she wore out to the club the night before because she knows in her heart, she knows that she's supposed to dress nice for church, but she don't have church clothes. So what she says is, I have this dress, and she wears this dress, and yes, I know it's too tight, I know it's too short, but you know what? She's not saved, so don't take our traditions and run her out of the church before Jesus gets a hold of our heart. Don't let our traditions cause us to focus in on the wrong things. Sometimes we like our cultural traditions more than we like Jesus. Okay? We like our politics more than we like our Jesus. Sometimes we want to put these things before Jesus, and we can't do that. You want to vote Republican? You want to vote Democrat? But you better not define yourself as I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. No, you should be a Christian who happens to vote Republican. You should be a Christian who happens to vote Democrat. You should be a Christian who happens to be white. You should be a Christian who happens to be black. These things should not define you. Don't let our traditions define us. And we've talked about Jesus declares all food clean. The Old Testament food laws, they're good. They function as a guide to help Israel with their relationship with God. But food no longer separates us from God. Okay? The only time I think food can become a separate from God is for gluttons. We begin to enjoy food more than we enjoy Jesus. We enjoy food so much that we can't fast. We can't pray. What happens is that we make food our God. We elevate it to a status that it shouldn't be. But what Jesus is saying, hey, this food no longer separates you from God. The only barometer of right and wrong is Scripture. Okay? Now, I know different cultures look at different things, okay? And we can look at the same situation and we see it differently, okay? It was interesting. I read this article and they were talking about young people and their perception of things that went on in America, okay? And they were saying that kids from urban areas tended to be very sensitive and very focused on issues of race, and they would get frustrated with their students who came from rural areas who didn't have these issues, and they would say, well, why don't they understand these things? Why don't they care about these things? Why don't they do these things? Because they had to tell them, no, they've not experienced it. Watching something on television or reading about it, but when you live in a different place and you don't experience those things, they seem far away. They seem foreign. That's why the only barometer of right and wrong has to be Scripture. It can't be our perception. It can't be of where we grew up or any of these traditions. The barometer of right and wrong has to be the Word of God. Our second point this morning, our third point this morning is defilement begins from within. And I think that's important. Verse 20, it says, and he, that's Jesus, was saying, that which proceeds out of the man is what defiles him. Okay? It's not what you eat. It's not the things that you do on the outside. Yes, our actions can be sinful, but what he's saying is that your sinful actions don't come from without. They begin within. They start in our heart. Sin begins in our heart. Okay? We don't like that. We want to blame sin on everything else. We want sin to come from everywhere else. But Jesus is saying that sin begins in our heart. Defilement, the things that separate us from God, begins in our heart, okay? And what you have to realize is when they talk about heart, they're not just talking about the organ, okay? In the Bible, the heart is really the seat of human emotion. It's the seat of human intellect. It's the place where we experience God. And he says, so when he says that it comes within, he's saying sin is coming, begins in our heart. So that's why it's only the things that proceed out of us. can defile us. It's only those things that come out of us that can separate us from God, that puts us in wrong, and it ruins our right relationship with God. And that's why he was saying, hey, you're focused on all these external things that can affect you. He's saying, no. He says, it begins here. It begins with you. It begins in your heart. And he goes on, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. That's my heart. That's your heart. Look what he says comes out of it. Evil thoughts. I don't want to think evil thoughts come out of my heart, okay? But he said that's where it begins. Then he goes on to say fornications. Now, the Greek word there for fornication is porneia. And it really, what it does, it covers all sexual activity outside the marriage between a man and a woman, okay? So whether you're having sex before marriage, okay, whether you're having sex, in marriage, okay, it deals with all of it, and it's saying that it's wrong. So from a scriptural standpoint, the only time that sex is right is between a husband and a wife, okay? Now let me say this. I know this is gonna, we don't like this in the modern world, but hey, just because, Steve and Brad get together and they get married, that doesn't make it right in God's sight, okay? Marriage has to be according to God's standard. And everything else is called porneia. That's where we get the word pornography from. And it covers all of this. And he goes on, thefts, murders, adulteries. Now, that fornication really covers a broad thing, that word, but then they have a specific word for adultery, sex outside of your marriage partner, deeds of coveting, that you're desiring other people's stuff. We desire other people's stuff. We desire their life. We desire their finances. We desire these things. And Jesus says, no. Watch those things. Wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander. Slander in Greek means abusive speech, that you're speaking ill of people, that you're tearing them down. Christians do this, but they do it, they Christianize their abusive speech. Oh, go pray for that person. That person's struggling. It's one thing if you really mean, hey, pray for this person. I like this person. They're a good person, but they're struggling. Pray for that they find some deliverance. But a lot of times when you're saying pray for them, you're not actually wanting to pray for them. You're actually, what you're really doing is gossiping about them. You're like, hey, let me get them here. Let me get them. I'm going to clean it up and try to Christianize it. Pride, foolishness. He said, all of these things, verse 23, all of these things proceed from within and defile the man. It's not food. It's not the clothes we wear. Yes, I know the clothes we wear reflects on us. Let me tell you what else, okay? Stop blaming Satan. Satan may tempt us. But if we're honest, most of the time that sin begins in our heart. You got to stop blaming Satan, okay? Yes, I know Satan came and tempted Jesus. But Satan is not going to tempt you with things, okay? That you're not, you don't have a proclivity, a desire maybe to do that. There's something in there. So stop blaming Satan, okay? You people, they had a guy, he shot someone, and he said, the devil made me do it. No, the evil and the wickedness in your heart came out and you did it. Now you don't want to actually have to deal with the consequences, so you're going to try to blame it on the devil. So beware of sin that defiles us before God. Here's our big idea this morning. Sin begins in our heart and our minds, okay? It begins in our hearts and our minds. And we have to deal with it. There's, so I'm not, I wish I could tell you when you got saved, you got sanctified, you got filled with the Holy Spirit, that all this is going to change, okay? That you're no longer going to have thoughts. You're no longer going to look down the street and think, oh, good Lord, have mercy. You're not going to look at other people's stuff sometimes and say, you know, I really want that. You're not going to have thoughts about someone that aren't positive. I wish I could tell you that. But here's the good news. The Holy Spirit fills and dwells in us. He fills us up. He can change us. And a lot of times we're so focused in the sin, we're paranoid about the sin. We focus on, and we don't focus in on Jesus. It's like running a marathon. And you get to that 13th mile and you start saying, oh boy, my legs are sore. My feet are tired. Man, I can feel the burn in my lungs. And if that's all you focus in on, eventually you're gonna quit. You're gonna stop. You're like, let me just quit. I don't have this anymore. But if you say, you know what? I have a goal in mind. I'm gonna keep, and you just push and you focus, and I'm gonna be victorious. I'm gonna get these other 13 miles. Eventually, what happens is now you run out a couple miles. Now you get to mile 17, and that burn has went away. You forgot about your feet hurting. You forgot about that burning in your lungs, and all of a sudden you have this second burst of energy. And so, in the same way in our Christian life, when we focus in on Jesus, he begins to work in our lives, and he begins to change us, and he begins to work in our heart and mold us and make us. And those things that we used to struggle with, we won't struggle with no more. So here's a question: are you obeying Jesus? Are you hearing and obeying Jesus? Because if you're not hearing him, that's a problem. If you're not obeying him, that's a problem. So you have to hear, you have to understand, and you have to obey him. Don't let human tradition blind us to the truth. Human tradition will get in our way. It will blind us. It will lead us astray. It will have us doing things that we don't need to do. That's why Hebrews says, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And if you find sin is brewing in your heart, let Jesus cleanse your heart. Bring it to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want you to change me. I want you to mold me. I want you to make me. I want you to do something different in my life. Let Jesus have his way in you. Let's pray. God, I just thank you and I praise you. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word, God, that you speak to us. And God, I pray that we deal with the sin that's in our hearts, God. God, that we don't get caught up in the tradition of men. We don't get caught up in the crowds, but that we would focus on Jesus, the author and our finisher of our faith, who would change us, who would renew us, make a new heart in us, and give us a right spirit. So, God, I pray that we hear your word. And I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.